Away we go. Good afternoon, Los Angeles and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. And welcome to yet another edition of the Astrology Hour. If I seem to be a little out of breath, don't worry, Mom. I was just I was jogging to the station, and I forgot I was on the air, so I jogged my brains off, actually. But I am here, and I am very happy to be here, and I have an exciting topic for you called Chart on Fire, which talks about heavy transit situations when your life seems to be going into the Murphy's Law syndrome. I hope it doesn't. But these transits are running so hot and heavy with number 2 of the cardinals covered, now number 10 of the cardinals covered, and 13, 14, 15 of the fixed covered. So a lot of people that have those numbers are going to be feeling some pressure coming up here. And that's on top of, in case you're having a midlife crisis or a Saturn return or a 7-year Saturn cycle or just any other kind of transit to boot. So anybody out there that likes Scorpio transits, unless you're loaded with Pisces and Cancer, these are really intense times. And wow, do people have expectations, and wow, do people really freak out if those expectations aren't followed through with, huh? So it does get kind of intense and crazy, to say the least. But anyway, I'm happy to be here. One of my more comfortable positions during my day is right here behind the microphone. Of course, the fact that I'm able to come here every day and fight through that South Bay traffic. Don't ever try to get anywhere in the South Bay at 12 noon. It's like people that have just woken up. There's like a second rush. And everybody in the South Bay wakes up at like 11 or 11:30, and they finally get out of the house at 12, just in time for me to run into them and have tons of traffic so I can't get to the show on time. All right. Yeah, this topic has been inspired by yours truly, because I just haven't been really feeling like doing much of anything lately. I don't know if you ever wake up with this curse of lethargy where you don't feel like doing much more than just sleep. But I've been having so much fun in my dream state lately that real life seems almost boring in comparison. No, I have a crystal castle of sorts that surrounds my bed when I sleep at night. So my sleep experience, my sleep cycle, and the consciousness I have when I sleep is very exciting and very, I'd say, enlightening and inspiring and electric. And when I wake up, I have a lot of resolution. But, you know, life seems so different when you wake up in the morning, when you come out of a dream that could be really fantastic and filled with outer space travel, astral projection, healing, adventuring, stuff like that, than when you wake up in the morning and you face 20th century Earth life and are dealing with some of the day-to-day problems that people deal with. And so many of us are just besieged by these trivial matters like career and relationships and bills and friends and love and sex and romance and freedom and comfortableness and being calm and stable, you know, little things that we constantly strive to attain balance in. Or sometimes I think in my sleep state I'm naturally in a state of balance, whereas when I wake up, doesn't seem like I am. Isn't it funny? I think one day I'll do a study and see if, well, I guess actually just being intuitive right now, I don't think we're really affected by our transits in our sleep state, because the soul and the spirit and the intuitive mind and the higher mind are not made up of the same type of material that is charged by the energy in this system. So it's almost like when you're sleeping or when you're dreaming or when you're meditating, you're not really affected by your transits as much because you're immaterial. You're in a vacuous state, a gaseous state almost, where you are much more spiritual. And it's almost like being in this body and being alive and awake and animated. This body has a particular charge. It's almost like Earth life, to me, is like a long river. And the moment you're born, you start off on this quest down the river. And, of course, the river changes. Sometimes it's calm and beautiful and serene and moving quietly so you can observe what's going on the bank of the river. And then sometimes it gets dark and cold or rainy or stormy or lightning, or the river gets smaller and narrow and rapids and rocks come up or waterfalls come up and you hang on for dear life. And sometimes on that river trip, you're having a great time and it's wonderful. And other times you're panicked, you're in terror, you're horrified. So oftentimes I do compare Earth life to being on a river and floating down that river and hoping that what's coming up around the bend is not going to be as intense or difficult as what you've just been through. Now, in astrology, when we use astrology, we follow what is called transit. In other words, we take a look to try to zero in and figure out what is happening in an individual's life by taking a look at where the planets are in their chart today. See, like, when you're born with a birth chart, an astrological chart. That's what we call it, the natal. That sound familiar? Sounds like being born, natal, right? And the birth chart is very interesting and very powerful and very important because that chart is a reflection. It is a picture of the state of energy that existed in this solar system the moment you were born. So we astrologers have proven that each individual, when they come out of the womb, when the umbilical is cut, when they take the first breath, they actually embrace an electrical charge in every one of their cells that goes deep, deep into the cosmic structures of the soul that is connected to the cell. And that offers an astrological charge that has everything to do with impelling us to be a certain type of individual, to respond to a certain type of environmental conditioning, to express and create and radiate towards certain specific qualities of people, of energy, of knowledge, of wisdom, of power. So if you have heavy certain astrological factors in your chart, see, in the natal chart, by understanding astrology, we do find that each and every planet is like a vital organ. The mistake a lot of people make is they put too much weight into sun sign astrology. Sun sign astrology is only maybe 1/20th of what true astrological knowledge and awareness can be bestowed in scientific planetary astrology. So what we do is when we look at a natal chart, by knowing where all the planets are, where they're located, the 12 signs of the zodiac, people think they're like stop signs, go signs, do not cross signs. A sign of the zodiac is actually a constellation of stars, a grouping of stars that had identified an area of space that we might call Leo or Virgo or Pisces or Libra. And these areas of space, these 12 areas of space, surround the Earth in a 360-degree circle. And this circle is important because this circle of constellations just happens to be from the Earth's point of view, actually from even the Sun's point of view, where all the planets, including the Sun and the Moon, travel. That is called the ecliptic, or the plane of movement through which all the planets will travel. So whenever we are trying to interpret something astrologically, we always talk about planetary locations in areas of space or in signs of the zodiac. So if someone said, well, you had Moon in Virgo and Mars in Pisces and Venus in Scorpio, notice that the planet always comes first, then the area of space or the sign of the zodiac is second. So we're actually giving you locations of where the planets are located in space when you were born. If you really want to get finicky, each area of space, each sign of the zodiac, like, for example, the constellation of Leo, is divided into 30 equal parts that we call degrees. If you multiply that 30 degrees times 12 signs, you get the circle, 360 degrees. So looking at a natal chart, what you're basically looking at is the circle of the zodiac from above, like you were God or something, with the Earth in the middle, and then the locations of where all the planets were at birth. And that's called the natal. Now, that natal chart does not move. In other words, that is a picture, it is a reflection, it is a photograph of the energy that charged your body and your brain cells at birth, and that natal effect is what we astrologers refer to as the vehicle. The vehicle as far as how the temple, how the body, which houses the soul, is charged. Also, the karmic state that you must experience. Your body receives a certain karmic charge in order to experience, hopefully, its most important lessons to its highest good, which offers the greatest growth potential. And the astrology natal chart, the birth chart, also explains to us where we are strong, where we are weak, where we are vulnerable, where we are powerful, where we are blessed, where we are cursed. So you can find out a lot of things by analyzing a birth chart. You can tell what type of person this is, what type of things and people they'll be interested in, what careers they'll be suited to, what their money situation can be, what their health situation can be, what their home situation might be, their friends, their goals, anything you can think of to analyze in third-dimensional life can be found in the natal chart. It goes so much further than that, because the natal chart is, it's almost like each and every cell in our body has tiny little universes in it. Not only a reflection, but it's like each and every cell, you know, there's a philosophy that the microverse and the macroverses are kind of combined, where actually size is an illusion. Where, you know, we start talking about these big red giants and blue giant stars that are like 30, 40 times bigger than our sun or 1,000 times bigger than our sun. This size metaphysically is almost like an illusion, because metaphysically the universe could fit into a single cell or a single grain of sand or even a single micron of energy, the whole universe, the third dimension. So what we perceive to be size could be totally off as to what there really is. A lot of times we feel real small and insignificant because when we look at the Earth from the space shuttle, you can't even find a human being on there. It's not like we're not even like bacteria from that distance, right? But metaphysically, we are so much more than that. See, metaphysically, one human cell is equal to the entire universe. So astrologically, when you're born, each and every one of your cells carries around a little universe frozen for your whole lifetime at just the way it was when you were born. Well, as the planets move through space, what happens is they trigger these little universes in your body. See, your chart is a reflection of the state of your cell structure cosmically. This is something that scientists have not come up with yet. The only way you can truly prove how and why astrology works is like I did. You have to use yourself as a guinea pig, get your chart done, and study it. And the mistake a lot of people make is they judge astrology on what they read in the paper, sun sign, or some of the astrologers that they see that represent like presidents or kings or queens or whatever. You know, they find whatever bad publicity they can find, and they try to taint or negate any truth or substance that could be found out of it. No one has yet to go on Nightline with Ted Koppel and do Ted Koppel's chart for him in front of America to see what his reaction is. And yet he'll be the first one to get this professor from the American University or whatever in Washington, some guy who also is totally apathetic to astrology, right, or Carl Sagan even, and get them on TV and blast astrology without even being knowledgeable about it. So even, see, this is such a deeply cosmic, metaphysical, complex science to prove. The only way you can truly prove it is to get yourself charted and find out for yourself, like millions of people on this planet already have, because astrology is a very popular thing right now on this planet. Now, also, so we know we have these tiny little universes in all of our cells when we're born now called the natal chart, and the way life works, to the best of my knowledge, when I've tried to figure out and understand the cycles of life and why things happen the way they do, the timing, and also the impact of certain experiences are called transit. And this happens. Now, see, if you knew about your chart, then you would know that you have a sun location, a moon or a lunar location, and a location of all the planets besides the Earth. In other words, you would have a Mercury, a Venus, a Mars, a Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto factor in your chart. In fact, if you really learned your chart, you'd know all your planets by sign and by degree. Like, I know right off my Venus is 5 Cancer, my Mars is 15 Libra. My Jupiter is 19 Sag retrograde. Those are locations of my chart. My Uranus is 29 Gemini. My Neptune is 10 Libra, and so forth. So when you know these numbers, when you get down these numbers that I told you were 0 to 30, right, then you start to understand some of the cellular effects of this natal effect at birth. Now, the way the transits work is that the chart you're born with does not move. That is like the game board. And the planets in the sky continue moving, though. So they are like the pieces that are moving in the game. And as the planets in the sky move constantly, some of them very quickly, like the sun will go through all 12 signs, all 360 degrees of the zodiac once a year, along with Mercury and Venus. And the moon will go through all 360 degrees through all 12 signs once a month. Okay? And Mars will take about 2 years to go through all 12 signs. And Jupiter will take 12 years to go through all, to make that whole full circle, where Saturn will take 28 to 30 years, Uranus takes 84 years, and Neptune and Pluto well over 100 years to go full circle. So each planet, because they are farther out or closer to the Earth or closer to the Sun, has a different cycle depending on how long it takes to go through all 12 areas of your chart. So obviously if you live to be 160 years old, you're going to go through a full cycle of every single planet, including Neptune and Pluto, the farthest ones out. Well, not too many people live to that age. But the point of this topic is to let you know, and the reason why our transit forecast is so powerful and so exciting and so acceptable by so many people, is because we track your planets. You know, we let you know where the planets are in the sky on the game board, okay? That means, like, knowing I have something at 5 Cancer is interesting, but knowing that there are two planets right now exactly opposite my 5 Cancer, meaning there's Uranus and Venus both at 2 Capricorn, that is what we call a transit aspect. And when something in the sky goes over a number in the sky that is close to within 4 degrees of a number in your chart, then we call that a transit state. And that means that the options or the opportunities for there to be a karma or something go down to be wicked or even terrible or even frightening or something kind of pressure or stressful to happen in your life, that's when all the stuff hits the fan, usually. Taking a look at my chart, for example, everything's being set off because the planets in the sky tremendously adhere with my chart the way it is. And that would mean that, first of all, we have, in today's news report, we got two 10s, a Jupiter and a Neptune at 10 Cancer, 10 Capricorn. I got Neptune at 10 Libra. We have a couple of 15s, Pluto and the Sun at 15 Scorpio. I got a 15 Mars in Libra and a 14 Pluto in Leo. We have a couple of, we just had a 29 Aquarius here, which was where the moon was this morning. I have a 29 Gemini. And you see, if you were an astrologer or if you had your own transits, you would be aware that every time a planet in the sky hits a number that you have in your chart, whether it's the same sign or not, I want to make one thing clear in this topic. If you have a planet at 5 Leo, then any planet in the sky at 5 of any sign will be an astrological aspect to that planet in your chart, which means something's going on. I want to make that clear. 5 Leo has a relationship with 5 of any sign, whether it's 5 Virgo, 5 Libra, 5 Scorpio, 5 Sag, 5 Capricorn, Aquarius, Pisces, and so on. Fives relate to fives. That's the way the numbers work in astrology, and that's how we find aspects. Of course, each sign will have a different relationship to Leo. If you knew astrology, you'd know that 5 Sag and 5 Aries works well with 5 Leo. We call those trines and complements. You'd also know that 5 Taurus and 5 Scorpio and 5 Aquarius do not work well with 5 Leo. We call that karma and stress. You might also find out that 5 Libra and 5 Gemini happen to work well with Leo. 5 Leo, that's a sextile. So, you know, it gets a little complicated in analyzing what goes on, but that's what this show's all about. It's like when we send you out our packages, we explain to you in our transit forecast report, for example, exactly the timing, how long it's going to last, when the peak will be, and what you can expect from like Uranus opposition Venus, which is what I'm having, or Venus opposition Venus, also which is what I'm having, or a Jupiter square Neptune, which is what I'm having, or a Neptune square Neptune, which is what I'm having, or a Pluto square Pluto, or a Pluto square Mercury, or a Pluto square Sun, or a Sun square Pluto, Sun square Mercury, Sun square Sun, Mercury square Pluto, Mercury square Mercury, Mercury square Sun. I'm having all of those. And in my transit forecast, there is a long page and a half to explain just today and what is going on in my chart. And to tell you the truth, today was a day that I felt like staying in bed. And so was yesterday. In fact, most of last week. The funniest thing about astrology is before I knew astrology, I kind of felt like a rabbit in a cage with an electrical floor. It was so gestalt where I'd constantly be being shocked and rewarded and never understand why or what was going on. Because life can be so gestalt when you try to explain it astrologically. my big thing was, gosh, if I only had some way of knowing the timing of when things could happen. You know, with a chart like mine, I obviously am not going to travel on a day like today long distances. No way. Too many squares and too many oppositions. Basically, when there are too many planets in the sky, opposite planets in your chart are too many planets in the sky at right angles to planets in your chart, called squares and oppositions. If there are more than three or four exact numbers, we call that a chart on fire. And sometimes we call that a skin crawl transit, where the energy of the planets in the sky is so intense that you cannot put your finger on what's wrong. A lot of people with heavy air in their chart might seek therapy, and that's not a bad idea. A lot of people like myself, I woke up and meditated today. That's not a bad idea. A lot of people might pray or use their affirmations or our meditations, or a lot of people might review their goals and their desires and their priorities, and by reviewing these goals and these situations, maybe they could process some obsessions or some focus they have that is unnecessary or not really healthy for the individual. The ridiculous thing about this is that if you're 38 to 43, and those of you out there that are 38 to 43 or 44 will know, it is almost impossible to avoid stress during this period of your life unless you live out in the woods and have no desires at all and no cares for any other human beings. If you are 38 to 44 and you're having what we call the midlife transit in astrology, which happens during that age period, the planet Uranus takes that long, almost 40 years, to come opposition itself in your chart, as Neptune takes that long to become square to itself in your chart, and Pluto takes that long to become square to itself in your chart. So you're already having three major planets in long transits, because unlike the moon that moves through all 12 signs in 1 month, Uranus takes 84 years to go through all 12 and 7 years to go through just one sign. Neptune takes 10 to 15 and so does Pluto, right? So, you know, when you're having a Uranus-Neptune-Pluto effect from 38 to 44, and here comes Jupiter, and here comes Saturn, and here comes Mars, and Sun, Mercury, and Venus, and the Moon to add to the fun. Because you're already having three major squares and oppositions, right? In total, two major squares and one major opposition. And if Jupiter and Saturn happen to add to the fun as far as squaring and opposing something else in your chart like they are with mine, I'm having a Jupiter square Neptune and a Saturn square Neptune on the other side, and a Neptune square Neptune. So my poor little Neptune is out in the cold right now. It is wounded. You'd have to know what Neptune is in my chart, in my life, to understand that effect. I'll tell you what it is. Neptune is in the 12th house in my chart, in Libra. It is every iota, every fiber, every thread of responsibility I feel to teach, be a counselor, a philosopher, a psychic. It is a world of doubt, of skepticism, of insecurity, of feeling uncentered, uncomfortable about my body, about my life, about this realm. It's not being as focused as I'd like to be. You hear me on the air at 12 noon to 1 o'clock, and I know most of the time I sound pretty together. But before and after the show, I am constantly trying to process my stuff and attain balance and centering best way I can, mentally, physically, and spiritual, because this is one bitch of a transit. And hey, there are a lot of people out there born in 1947 and 1948 and 1949 that are feeling the exact same thing. You know why? Because they have Neptune at 10 Libra like I do. Because that Neptune stuck between 8 and 11 Libra in 47, 48, and 49. So I'm not alone. A lot of people are feeling like they want to leave this dimension. You know, weird, you get weird thoughts. You know, you get weird things. You want to do things that completely change your whole life. You know, and you have emotional problems during the whole thing. So, you know, astrology works. And when you zero in on this stuff and you find out you have a chart on fire, the big question I have to ask you is, wouldn't you rather know that you are having a potential problem in your life ahead of time and even during, then continue with your life and be overwhelmed with the stress and the karma without having any idea why it's happening and what's going on? I think that's why a lot of people escape and run and bottom out. Because instead of trying to fix the machine, they just let it break down. And the more damage the machine gets, the more frightened they get. I'm not like that. I have to understand the odds. I need to know what's going on. I want to know what's ahead and what's around. You know, if I'm in the forest, even if I'm sleeping at night, I want a flashlight or a torch. I want to be able to see what's going on there. And some of you can sleep in pitch black, but I can't. If there's an earthquake, I want to be able to have a reference point I can fix if it's in the middle of the night so I can head to a table or a doorway and survive. You wake up in the middle of the night when it's pitch black, you don't have that reference point. Look out. Am I scared of quakes? You better believe it. I don't want to die in a quake. Anyway, chart on fire. That's a pretty advanced topic, a little complicated, but I think it's very important. You know, the funny thing, I want to sit down and talk to you for a second, one-on-one, just Farley and you, okay? What was the purpose of this topic I just did? Well, I guess the purpose of the topic was to try to alert you to the fact that you are more than what meets the eye, that you are a creature, a being of beauty and power and substance and oftentimes complexities that can be understood, analyzed, looked at in a deep fashion by looking at that astrological factor, that chart. And you know, the beautiful part of that topic is I tell you that you're going through things, that things are going on in your life that I know about because I'm an astrologer. If you are one of those people that's 38 to 44 or 27 to 30 or 57 to 60, then you're having a very intense astrological aspect. Perhaps you're in a 7-year cycle of some kind. You feel lots of stress. We can help you overcome some of that stress and understand it. You know, understanding stress is a wonderful way to overcome your problems by understanding the source, the root. And that is why doing the transits and having your transits are something that can definitely, absolutely help you find resolve in your life.